The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We're going to go right into old-time radio. This week's program, The Inner Sanctum, The Voice on the Wire, originally aired 11/29/1944.
Colgate Tooth Powder presents
Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host, Raymond, inviting you in through the squeaking door. Well, it's so nice if you'd come here tonight and help me sit up with a corpse. Hey, such dull company, so cold and stiff, bored with being dead. All the life seems to have gone out of him. What? You say you've seen him before? Oh, no, he's not that horror man who plays in pictures. But he does look like him. So much so, in fact, you might even call him a dead ringer. Tonight's Inner Sanctum Mystery, Voice on the Wire, is an original radio drama by Robert Sloan and stars Miss Leslie Woods in the role of Geraldine Reeves. It's produced under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Romance. What is romance? Romance is the light on the path of love, but a light so delicate that even a breath may put it out. Even a breath. You'd hate that to happen to you, wouldn't you? Well, don't let a breath of trouble ruin your romance. Don't let unpleasing breath offend the one you love. I tell you what, brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. And let me add, Colgate tooth powder is the only tooth powder that offers proof of this fact. And then, too, Colgate tooth powder cleans your teeth beautifully. No amount of money can buy you a dentifrice that will clean your teeth more quickly and thoroughly. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
No doubt the telephone is an ingenious invention, but as far as I know, no one as yet has been able to commit murder over it. Although many people have wanted to. Still, there are worse things you can get on the phone than the wrong number, especially if you happen to call the voice on the wire. On a long, narrow island, just off the shore of one of our larger lakes, Mrs. Geraldine Reeves, widow of the late composer David Reeves, lives alone in a gaunt, gray, shingled house. Only a few hundred yards away are the charred remains of her former home, where David was burned to death in a fire just 2 years ago. It's after dinner now, and as the clock in the hall strikes 8.
You've got to get hold of yourself, Geraldine.
I can't help it, Doctor. You see, it starts every night, about this time.
What starts?
The music. David's last composition. I hear it being played on a piano. And the notes seem to come from the old house, the house where David died in the fire.
Well, perhaps someone is playing that piece on the piano. Someone on the island.
No. No, there's only one other house out here, and those people are away. And the dog. The dog keeps howling all night long.
What dog?
I don't know. There's no dog on the island, but David and I did have a dog. You remember? He stayed with David the night of the fire. He died with him because David was too ill to get out of bed. There. There it is again.
It's amazing. That's a real dog. Somewhere on this island.
Oh. Do you think so?
Why, of course. Probably some stray got across the bridge or swam over from the shore.
Well, you see, Oh, excuse me, Doctor.
Certainly.
Hello?
Hello. Mrs. Geraldine Reeves.
Yes, speaking. Who is this?
Listen.
Good heavens!
You have 4 hours to live, Mrs. Reeves. 4 hours to live.
What? What did you say? Hello! Hello!
What's the matter, Geraldine?
The music. The same music. I heard it again.
What?
Over the phone. Someone's playing it on the piano.
It must be some sort of a prank.
No. A man spoke to me. He said I have 4 hours to live.
4 hours to... Here. Let me have that phone.
No, it's no use. He's rung off.
Well, we might be able to trace the call. Hello. Operator. Operator.
Somebody's trying to kill me.
Hello, operator. Operator.
What's wrong, Doctor?
I'm afraid the wires have been cut. We'd better get into my car and drive into town right away.
Yes. Yes, it isn't safe for me to stay here another minute.
Can't understand it. The motor won't turn over. Somebody must have meddled with this car while we were in the house.
Well, try my car, Doctor.
I think perhaps I'd better. Is it in the garage?
Yes, I'll... Great heavens, it's gone. The garage is empty. The car's been stolen.
Now, let's not lose our heads, Geraldine. But... We're not completely cut off yet. We can't use a car. We can still walk.
But it's almost a mile to the bridge, and the road is so dark down along the water.
It won't be too dark with a flashlight. We can go down through the woods to the edge of the water and walk along the shore.
Oh, wait a minute.
What's the matter?
I just remembered. David's brother's driving out here tonight.
Harvey?
Yes, and his wife, Laura. They said they'd be here by 8:30, and if we wait for them, they can take us back in their car. What do you think, Doctor?
That's safer than trying to make it alone. If we wait right here, perhaps we can watch the bridge and see them coming. For heaven's sake, Geraldine. What are you staring at?
The bridge, Doctor. The bridge, look! This end of it's been washed out. Oh, Doctor, this is crazy, searching for a telephone wire in back of the house. If we're seen out here, there's no telling what might happen.
Please, Geraldine. We've got to find out where that wire was cut and splice it together again. It's our only chance of reaching the police.
But it's almost 9:00. We've wasted an hour already. If I'm not out of here by 12...
Stop it, Geraldine. Stop it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. What's that?
It's the dog again. That confounded dog is tied up around here somewhere.
No, I didn't mean that. I meant the light on the road. There's a strange light on the road.
The headlight of a car. Coming this way.
A car?
Yes. Quick, behind the house and stay out of sight. It's turning into the driveway.
How could a car have come out onto the island with that bridge up?
Shh. They're getting out.
Oh! Why, it's Harvey and Laura.
Good heavens.
Oh, Harvey!
Hello!
Harvey! Oh, Harvey.
Pete's sake. Jerry, what are you doing? Playing hide-and-seek with us back there?
Oh, Harvey, I'm so glad you came.
Jerry, what's the matter?
Oh, everything. But first you've got to tell us how you got here.
Why, we just drove over the bridge and on up the road the way we always do.
But how could you drive over the bridge? It's been washed out.
What?
Well, I saw it with my own eyes, and Dr. Prising saw it too, didn't you, Doctor?
I certainly did.
Oh, you must be mistaken. We drove over the bridge not more than 2 minutes ago.
Are you sure you haven't been on the island longer than that?
Well, I'm positive. Why?
Well, some very strange things have been happening here tonight. Geraldine's life was threatened, her car stolen, and mine tampered with.
What?
What are you talking about?
Look, I'll show you. The starter in my car won't even turn the motor over. Here. By George. It's working now.
Say, what is this, Jerry? You and the doctor been taking a few pills? Did you drink too much wine at dinner?
Oh, no. Everything he said is true. Even the telephone wires have been... I must be going out of my mind. That is my telephone ringing, isn't it?
Yes. course. Aren't you going to answer it?
I'm almost afraid to. Come with me, Harvey, will you, while I do?
Sure.
Hello?
Hello. Mrs. Reeves.
Yes?
Listen. It's 9 o'clock, Mrs. Reeves. You have 3 hours to live.
Waiting, this endless waiting. Why don't the police come?
Easy now, Jerry. They'll be here. You only phoned them a few minutes ago.
But something can happen before they get here.
I have a gun ready, just in case anything should happen. And I won't hesitate to use it.
You have a gun, Doctor?
Why, yes. Geraldine gave it to me before you arrived.
Oh.
What's the matter? You trust me with a gun, don't you?
Why, of course.
Laura. What is it?
A face at the window. I just saw a face at the window.
Laura, please, you're letting your imagination run away with you.
No, I saw it right there. It was the face of a dead man.
Quick, Harvey, out the back way.
Right.
No, no, please don't leave us.
We'll be right outside the window.
Jerry, I'm afraid.
Well, there's nothing we can do, Laura. They won't be far away.
But I don't trust Dr. Prizing. You never should have given him that gun.
Why not?
Because I think he's a murderer.
Laura!
Yes. Don't you remember how he acted at the trial? When you were accused of starting the fire that killed David, he testified against you time and again, subtly, to make them think you did it. Because he started that fire himself.
What on earth are you saying?
I'm telling you the truth. During the trial, he swore that he wasn't on the island the night of the fire. But he was. And I can prove it.
How?
By this cigarette case of his. Here, look at it. You see how it's charred and melted on the side where his initials were? He must have left it in the fire that night, by mistake.
But he couldn't have. The police searched everything the next morning. They would have found it in the ashes.
Not if it wasn't there. He came back for it that same night, as soon as he missed it, and dragged it out of the fire. He knew it would incriminate him if it were found in his possession, so he threw it into the lake as he drove home over the bridge. And that's where we found it, in the water, the last time we were out here.
Oh, Laura, I hope you're wrong.
So do I. But if I'm right, we're all in for...
Laura! The lights! Somebody's cut off the lights!
Laura! Laura, where are you?
Carrying the door! Carrying through the door! It's the face I saw!
Laura!